My name is Keith and I'm a recovered alcoholic. My sobriety date is the 22nd of May 2000. And I got sober through AA because I was desperate enough to want what you guys had. And the newcomers that are at the meeting tonight, if you've got a big book, there's a little bit in the big book that you can mark up and read when the meeting ends. And it starts on page 509. And it starts with the paragraph I said at my first meeting. Read that little part. There's only two pages to read. And it's really valuable for the newcomer of what we offer and what we would like to do and the journey you're going to take when you go through the program of action. And we've gone through a series of weeks so far, going through the steps, and we're up to step 10. But just to basically recap of where we've got to for the new people, we suffer with an illness that we can't control. We're always in conflict with our mind that's going to justify the next drink. And we don't know why we keep doing it. Because we haven't got the power to stop doing it. So we keep picking up that same drink and we keep getting drunk and there's always consequences, problems. And you know what? Life's just a drama. And life's really quite painful trying to live in that mindset. So we have a program, a 12-step program, that if you follow the course of action and do it promptly, quickly, fearlessly, and thoroughly, you're going to get the results and you're going to get the freedom from the bondage of self and live a happy life. It's really quite simple. And we got to step 10 and, you know, we've done step 9 last week, and step 9 is an ongoing process of the amends. You know what? There's very few people that do all their amends. We can never get them all completed. But once we've got our amends and we start making progress of making our amends, we get to step 10 and step 10 is a culmination of steps 4 through 9. And I'm just going to read a couple of parts out of the big book that gives us the directions and some warnings of what to look for. And then my experience of what step 10 was about. And on page 84, in the bottom paragraph, it tells us, it says, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory, which we did to step 4 and 5, which means I need to keep checking myself, looking at my behavior, looking at my mistakes, looking at myself throughout the day. Because if I can't keep a check on that, I'm going to continue to make the same mistake. I'm going to continue to wrong people, upset people, piss people off, if I'm honest with you, and not have that peace of mind. It then says we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. Step 10 is a daytime step. It's not a nighttime inventory. This is your second inventory step. Your first inventory step was step 4, and that was what they call the grosser handicaps, the current stuff that's in our mind that's blocking God or blocking the power that's within inside of us. And once we unblock that God or that power in step 4 and 5 earlier on, and went through 7, 8, 9, 6, 7, 8, 9, we get to 10. It says we need to continue to set right the new mistakes, because if I'm holding on to a new mistake, I'm going to hold on to resentment, then Ali is going to piss me off, and Sharon's going to piss me off, and Richard's going to piss me off, and they go round and round in my head. And ultimately, if I don't deal with these, look for the truth in it, look for my part in it, and make my amends when possible, I'm going to drink. Because the book is very clear, the resentment's the number one offender. And I can't have that grouch and brainstorm going around in my tiny little mind. Because that's the thing, the control panel is going to send me out there. When I can't see the truth, it's going to send me back out there. It then carries on. It says, we vigorously commence this way. Vigorously means action. Let's get busy. We have a program of action that's designed to make us work for what we've got. Nothing in life is free. Anything you've got, whether it's work, relationship, let me tell you, how hard is it with relationships, with men and women, with the loved one? Because they piss us off and we've got to sit with them. How hard is it is marrying a man or marrying a woman or living with them? Their habits, the way they are, their creature comforts, and we have to accept them for what they are. And sometimes it's difficult. It tells us exactly what to do. We vigorously commence this way of living as we'd cleaned up the past. He says, we've entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in effectiveness, understanding and effectiveness of what is God's will for us. What is the power's will for me? And let me tell you what God's will is for me. I never believed in God when I come to AA. That wasn't my, when I come to AA a long time ago, let me tell you, I weren't part of the God squad. I wasn't going to be part of this little cult that was, you know, that wasn't my thing. But what I realized was when I abandoned myself to the idea of a power greater than myself, all sorts of remarkable things happened. Things changed. I changed. I've got a shift internal. Things got a bit easier. Now, when I'm trying to grow in understanding and effectiveness of what is God's will for Keith? Because when I run a life on Keith's will, I'm pissing people off. I'm going to get them resentments. I'm going to get angry, confused. I'm going to get selfish. I'm going to get dishonest. I'm going to be fearful and afraid. I have all this stuff going on in my mind and I can't afford that, because that's the stuff that kept me out there. That's the stuff that kept me drunk. That's the stuff that blocked the power from me to get me sober. So I have to listen to what God's will is, that that affected us and understanding. It then continues and it gives me some instructions of what we should do throughout the day. He said, this is not an overnight matter. It's all day. Step 10 is a daytime step. When I piss off the neighbor, I need to apologize when I'm wrong, making amends, talk to a sponsor, talk to God. And then they'll tell me now, it says, this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. People talk about this. I've got great 24 hours. It's a day program. It's a load of crap. The book is really clear. If you want to quit entirely, not for 24 hours. I get it in the early days when I first got sober, 24 hours was the most important. If I could keep myself sober for just one day, that was the most important thing for me. But as I sobered up and I went through the program and I found that power to solve the problem, today it's a lifetime program. I wanted to quit entirely. It then says it's not an overnight match, it should continue for a lifetime. And then it gives me an instruction to continue to watch for. Now, remember in step 4 and 5, we've done our resentments, and our fears, and our sex conduct, our harms. This we wrote them down. We shared them with another person and God. We cleared the wreckage of the past and we made amends and we saw our defects. But it warns me in step 10. It tells me what to look for. It tells me what's for resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and fear. The four biggest defects I had in my system that sometimes can be current. It said, when these crop up, what do? We ask God to remove them. We make amends when possible, whenever, as quickly as possible. It then says love and tolerance of others is our code, because this is not all about me. Sometimes I'm wrong. When I admit when I'm wrong, it's not that bad. But today I can admit I'm wrong and not go, I'm really sorry about that, and then call them an arsehole, call them an idiot. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I apologize when I'm wrong. It then tells me we make amends if we had harmed someone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And that's what it instructs me to do. And my experience of step 10 is steps 4 through 9. It tells me what to do, when to do it, as quickly to do it. It then carries on page 85. One more bit I'm going to read out. And I picked this with page 58. Because it then gives us a warning on the middle of 85. It says it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe, an enemy. And on page 58, it gave us the warning to why. It tells us straight away, it says, ready to see a person who has thoroughly followed our path. Those people who do not recover, who will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are consciously incapable of being honest with themselves. And that was me. I can't be honest and I can't be fearless and thorough. I'm going to get drunk. Step 10 is a culmination of the whole program. It then carries on and it says, we are not cured of alcoholism. I've always got that allergy. The allergy to alcohol will never leave me. When I talk about I'm recovered, I found the power that I lacked. Step 10 is about the sixth sense of direction, connecting to that power, growing in understanding and effectiveness of what my will is today, what God's will is. It then says what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And the instruction is this. It says every day, not some days. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And I have to carry the vision of God's will. I have to start doing the right things, acting the right way, behaving the right way, treating people with love and respect, all the stuff that I didn't do. At this point in our program, the book is clear about we have a personality change or a spiritual experience, which means I'm not the same person. I'm not that selfish, self-centered person that I was all them years ago. When I go through the 12 steps, I get to step 10 and I'm practicing step 10 throughout the day. It becomes part of my daily routine, part of my living being. The spiritual program of action comes in many, many parts. It comes in the prayer and meditation in the morning. It comes in the readings throughout the day. It tells me to talk to two alcoholics throughout the day, whether I phone them, whether I call them, whether I see them face to face. And then I have to make sure that I correct myself in any issues. It then carries on And it says, these thoughts which must go with us constantly, we can exercise our willpower along this line. In step three, I handed my will and my life over to the care of God. And when I handed my will and life over to the care of God, it's because I was selfish and self-centered. When I've gone through the rest of the program, I get to step 10, I now get my will back. Because it's the proper use of the will. It's not always about me, no. It's about what can I do for other people. It's about the we of Alcoholics Anonymous. And people say about running on self-will, if I'm running on self-will and I'm attuned with God, I'm attuned with the world of the spirit, then it's fine. Because what's God's will for me? What is God's will? And I say to my sponsees in all your actions, where's God in that? Where's God in your thinking, in your thoughts, in your actions? Because all the time I'm just thinking about me, what am I going to get out of it? What's in it for me? I'm running on the wrong kind of self-will. It then talks on the bottom of 85, it says, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed direction, if you've gone fearless and thorough through the program, if you've gone through steps 4 through 9, fearless and thorough, so we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. What does that mean? That means it's not about me. It means I'm practicing the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm helping as many people as possible. And I go through sponsees with this same stuff. I get them, if you come to a problem in your life, I ask them, what would I do in it? So when I get to a situation, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure how to deal with it. We pause when agitated. My sponsor say, Keith, if it was Frank, what would Frank do? What advice would Frank give me? Because I can't see the problems that I face. But when I'm giving advice to other people, I have the best advice all the way through. So it's easier for me to turn it back onto myself and ask me, what would he do? It then says, if we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. To some extent, we've become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action. People get a bit confused about this daily reprieve, about it's a day program, but in the bottom paragraph, it told us, next is more action. We need to put more action. We need to grow into the world of the spirit. Throughout my day, I work on a construction site, and let me tell you one thing, I do fall out of a lot of people. I do argue with a lot of people, but it's all about the corrective measures I put in. I apologize when I'm wrong, and sometimes I'm not always wrong. Other people are to blame. Other people have a bigger input to me. But for me to clear my side of the street, for me to get peace of mind, I take the bull by the horns and I apologize for my part in it. And 9 times out of 10, I find the other people apologize as well. It makes my life a whole lot easier. The sixth sense of direction is that intuitive thought or feeling. And we spoke about it in the step 9 promises, that we will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. It's that gut feeling. We know when we're right, we know when we're wrong. And 9 times out of 10, I go with that warm feeling inside my soul, and I know it's right. I know the right action to put in. Life is not difficult. It's as difficult as you make it. If I'm still fighting and I'm arguing and I'm in conflict with people, there's something wrong with my spiritual condition. I tell a lot of people, when you get confused, when you're unsure, say the serenity prayer 3 or 4 times. Take a step back. Pause when agitated. Normal people say, go and have a cigarette and count to 10. And they do that and they come back and they're calmer. For us, we can say the serenity prayer 3 or 4 times. And then we can come back into any situation with a bit of peace of mind. We can restart our day at any time of the day. Step 10 talks about the world of the spirit. And the world of the spirit is a far world from where I was when I first got sober. Because when I lived in a world of Keith, it was confusion, it was conflict, it was arguments. I was full of defects. I was full of wrongs. I was full of mistakes. My whole life was a car crash up until I got sober. When I go through the 12 steps, I get to step 10 and I'm living in the program of action. I tell people I'm recovered. So by step 10, it spoke about the promises. I won't read the promises just yet, but it talks about we've been restored to sanity. And what does that mean? I'm going to read one bit out from page 24, right? And it talks about the insanity, what the insanity of alcoholism is. And I spoke about this a few weeks back about step 1, and we spoke about the obsession is an idea that I'm going to control and enjoy the drinking, an idea that I'm going to have 2 or 3 drinks and that be that. But the insanity is just this. It says the almost certain consequences of that follow taking either a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. If these thoughts occur, they are hazily and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time we should handle ourselves like other people. He says there's a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one foot in the hand from a hot stove. The alcoholic may say to himself in the most casual way, it won't burn me this time and it's hell. Or perhaps he doesn't think at all. How often have some of us began to drink in this nonsense way and after the third or fourth pound of bar, said to ourselves, how did it ever get like that? Because I can't remember the consequences. I can't remember the problems. The insanity is I can't see the problems when I take a drink. When I get restored to sanity in step 10, I can see the truth in how I drunk. I can see the problems and the consequences and the damage that was caused. So now I see the truth in my drinking and I found the power to solve the problem. I'm recovered because the problem doesn't exist for us. The last part I'm going to read before I finish is step 10 promises. And the step 10 promises are quite poignant. It says we have ceased fighting anything or anyone for even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned, which means I've recovered, I've found the power. We will seldom be interested in liquor, and if tempted, we recoil from a hot flame. Why? Because we see the truth in it. We know we have an allergy to alcohol. We know where it's going to take us. We know the problems of the families and the wives and the kids and the finances. It says we react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. And I underline this because it says that's the miracle of it. The miracle is I've recovered from alcoholism. I don't have that necessity, that need to take a drink. I see the truth in how I drank and the consequences brought on by that. And let me tell you one thing, and I work with a lot of people on step one. If I don't solve the problem, I'm going to carry on drinking. And for an alcoholic to drink is to die. And in my 23 years sober, I've seen a lot of people go back out and decide one more weekend, one more night, one more day. And they take that drink and it kills them. And the truth be known, that's the subtle fact of alcoholism. It will kill us. If we've got something we're in conflict with our mind that's going to justify that next drink, unless we are fearless and thorough and go through this and get the promises in step 10. He says, we are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. Why? Because I see the truth, and the truth will set us free. We feel that we have been placed in a position of neutrality, and this is important, Mark, safe and protected. Why? Because I'm living in God's world, in the world of the Spirit. I'm not fighting it because I see the truth. I'm not fighting it because I found the power. Everything in step 10 is about the maintenance of my spiritual condition. I see the truth in what I've done. I see the problems brought on with my alcoholism. I see how I was in step 4 and 5 when I wrote that stuff out. I'm not like that no more. The promises have come true. I'm safe and protected because I work with other people, because I maintain that spiritual condition. He says, we've not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor we afraid. That is our experience. And this is how we react so long. And here's the warning. We remain in fit spiritual condition. And if you keep that maintenance, and I maintain that by working with other people, coming on Zoom and talking to people, going to meetings and working with other people night or day. And that's what keeps me spiritually fit. And let me tell you about the step 10 promises. We hear the step 9 promises read throughout. Every meeting we go to, they always read the step 9 promises. To me, the step 10 are more poignant because the problem got removed. That's the miracle. The miracle is the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was brought to us a long, long time ago, back from 1939, is when the first book first came out. And it gave us a solution to the problem that we couldn't solve. The problem with a lot of alcoholics that I've seen over my time is they don't maintain it. They don't keep doing the work. They don't keep working with other people. Bill Wilson wrote in his story on page 14 and 15 that if an alcoholic fails to enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice, we don't like self-sacrifice. I don't want to go to meetings. I don't want to come to Zoom meetings to talk to people about this.
2 minutes, please.
Thank you. I have to do it to keep myself spiritually fit, to keep my family, my friends, my children, my grandchildren, to keep them all content, to have somebody in life that's reliable and dependable, that's always going to be there, not in blackout on the floor, not drunk everywhere, not so unreliable. All I have to do is do this on a daily basis. It's easy. It's not difficult. The feeling of being safe and protected is 100% true. And that's what keeps me sober. And with that, thank you.